Hello, everybody. This is the 414, and I am your host, Thomas Hoven. Today, we have another very, very, very special guest. Give it up for Mr. Will Keeling.
Hello, hello.
Thank you for coming on, Will.
Thank you for having me.
This is
going to be fun.
Of course. And so, to kick things off, some relatively recent news for you is that you are now accepted into IU Med School.
Yes. Just recently got the final acceptance letter for IU School of Medicine, and actually 2 days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, I got the email that I'm officially placed in Indianapolis.
There you go.
Which was what I was hoping for. So.
Well, congrats on that too.
Appreciate it.
So to talk about how you were able to get here into this position, to get early decision into med school, very, very big deal. So you had to get some very good grades at Wabash to do so. And something that I've heard you say before is that it's not that hard to get good grades.
Yeah, well, I would definitely agree with what I've said previously, that it really isn't that hard in the fact that it's not that complicated. Because I came into Wabash with the mentality of, like, I know that I can put in the time and get good grades, so that's what I'm going to do. And like, that's going to be my number one job when I'm at school, is to get good grades. Because I mean if you're paying all this money to go to some somewhat prestigious school, I think it's every bit worth it to just push yourself and just put the time in. Because I don't think like there's any complicated like formula to get good grades. It's just like, are you going to put in the time or not? Some people need to put in more time than others, but and for me, like, maybe I'm naturally pretty good at just like studying and remembering things, but regardless, I think anybody can get good grades.
I agree. And so kind of what you're saying is the process is laid out for you. That doesn't necessarily mean that going in every single day and doing what you need to do is easy, but that everyone can do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult to do. Like, it takes a lot of time and effort and a lot of hours spent in the library studying and working on assignments. But, like, yeah, I guess it would be better to say it's not very complicated, but it is it's a pretty big commitment. So.
Sure. And so that, I think I've talked about this on the podcast before, but that is a lot of how I feel that this fatherhood class has been teaching us about fatherhood. So Will's in this class with me that I know I've brought up a lot, but it's a big part of what I've been doing these days. And like I've mentioned before, with being a dad, it seems like it's a lot of work and you got to do all these things, and it's probably a bit more complicated than doing well in school in a lot of ways. But I think it still rings true that the key components are putting in the time to spend time with your child, as well as just be nice to them and your wife or partner as well.
Yeah, something that I've definitely found to be true throughout like this fatherhood class is, like, at the end of the day, most of the things that we are finding from fatherhood, or from like how to be a good father, basically, is like, how much do you want to be a good father? How much are you going to put the time and effort into figuring out the ways to be a good father, regardless of your other obligations as a man? And so, like, yeah, I think like anybody preparing to be a father or planning on being a father, like, there's a lot of information that makes sense. It's just doing it.
I agree. And as we've gone through this course and we've thought about what it might be like someday to be dads, I think a reason that I am very confident in my ability. So let me back up. So, like Will, I get pretty good grades, work pretty hard in my studies and such. And in high school, actually, on a retreat, we were all given like vices basically that we need to work on. And this was like personalized individual stuff. And the vice I was given was called workaholic. And they were saying, yeah, you know, it's good to work hard, but you don't want to do so to the point that you sacrifice relationships, which I, in some ways, I can see how I maybe did that to an extent in high school. And so then it's, as our professors talked about, like the dads that commit all their time to their work and don't spend enough time with their families. And I could see that as being a potential obstacle for myself. But what gives me great confidence that that's not going to be me is, since joining the house, Will is a Fiji, by the way, for those who don't know. But since joining the house and being with all the guys, I think what I've done very well, sometimes to a detriment, but not really too often, is that when I need to, I always put others above myself and those relationships and making sure they're okay before my homework. And like I said, it's so much that, you know, you wish you had a little more time to do your own homework. But and I understand that raising a child is going to be a million times harder and different in many ways. But I think just that idea of caring about others being one of your priorities is something that I am ready to do.
Yeah, I definitely like what you're saying about the whole experience in the house. Like, I don't know that there are many other experiences in my life that have specifically taught me the lesson that, like, the people you surround yourself with and the relationships you have with them are one of the most, if not the top priority, or should be the top priority in your life. And I respect that you have found the ability to put those relationships first, because it really isn't easy and it's not obvious. But I can definitely say, like, there are times when I should have, like, spent some more time maybe talking to people and building those deep relationships, because that's something I've grown to value so much, because obviously the workload here is not light, but there is a balance, and I don't think there's any, I don't think you're going to lose anything by putting relationships above other things in your life.
I agree. And that goes back to one of the cliches, but that holds true, of advice that older guys give a lot of times when, at end of the year, when they're leaving the house or just in general, is to never say no to a conversation. And as tempting as it might be to go to bed or finish an assignment instead, because like you were saying, at the end of the day, that's what drives us.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's something, within the first 2 years of being in the house, I was like, wow, like, once you've had a few of those conversations that you're up late and you're like, oh, I could, like, probably go to bed, wake up, and then, like, be in class and, like, do my work and prioritize that, and, like, not sacrifice anything there, or stay up a little later and talk to some guys and really get to know them. And like the first 2 years of the house, I was like, I really realized the importance of that. But now, like you said, you should never say no to that conversation. But in my past 2 years of being a senior and a junior, I've come to realize the importance of, like, trying to start those conversations, which is really not easy, at least for me. But I think you're pretty good at that, like, kind of asking people, like, questions that will kind of poke at, like, deeper topics instead of just, like, oh, like, how is your bio class going?
Right.
So.
And, okay, so what's a way that you have learned to start those deeper conversations?
Really, there's no, what I found is that there's no other way to do it than just, like, ask a thought-provoking question that's been on your mind lately. Like, I guess I'll use today as an example, because it's just, like, I've been thinking about doing this podcast since you asked me yesterday, and just the constant thinking of, like, oh, like, deep conversations are, like, one of my favorite things ever. Like, I think I'm pretty good at, like, sometimes starting them, but not always. And so today, like, a lot of times in the mornings, I'll, like, journal and just, like, kind of have those conversations with myself, kind of. And then sometimes I'll think of a question and then I'll just like say it to somebody. A lot of times it'd be my roommates. So like today I just like asked my roommates, like, what's one thing that when you're doing it, you're like, there's nothing else I would rather be doing in the whole world. Just cause like, I like to think of like things like that. So,
wow. So what's your answer to that question?
That is a good, that is a good question to ask me about asking others. But, see, I was talking to Camden and Caleb about this and Evan Dickey, and we all had come up with a couple of different things. My main thing that I went to was like being at dinner with my whole family, or really another one being just like around a bonfire at my house with my whole family, just like talking about life and ironically having those deep conversations. And then just to like think about some other things, like Caleb brought up the point of like, he was like, whenever you like hit a home run in baseball, like I know you probably don't know that feeling. And then I related it to soccer because that's always been my thing. Like when you score a goal and you just know that like once you kick that ball, like it's going straight in, like that's a pretty unreal feeling, which those two things are different for sure, but similar in the fact that like when you're doing it, you're like, this is right where I should be.
Yeah.
So what is your answer?
That's also a very good question. And I feel like I've somewhat talked about this before, but just my favorite thing in the world is sitting around a table playing cards or games with friends, and because just the competitiveness but also the camaraderie that comes with it, that's hard to beat. Other simple things, whether it's watching a Colts game or like you said, having those nice deeper conversations, that's what gets me going. Especially now, back to kind of in the house with like, though it's senior year and we're not in quite as hefty course loads as before, we still find ourselves busy. And so I'm always looking forward to when my roommates and I somehow all do wind up in the room together, usually later in the evening, so that we have that time to talk and be together. And yeah,
I definitely agree. Those times when I'm currently living with four other guys in my room situation, and yeah, those times when everybody's around are awesome. I need to do a better job at getting to other rooms and spreading around the house and having conversations with guys that I might not ever really talk to after Wabash. So it's something I should definitely prioritize. But yeah, that really, like, senior year, everybody's like, oh, you'll have like senior year, like you won't have as much to do, which is true, but somehow it keeps you busy. Like, I don't know if it's just me like letting the little amount of work take up my time,
uh-huh,
or if it's just that I actually do have like a solid amount of work.
Well, and you're done now, but like applications take a lot of time.
And that brings me to a dilemma that I'm in right now, because I realize the value in taking time outside of studying, and like especially at this time of my life, like that's really what I should be focusing on, because I'm into med school already. Like, in terms of accomplishing one of my main academic goals, like I have accomplished it. The other goal that I have obviously is like graduating from Wabash with a 4.0. like that's something I've always like wanted to do, but the time that it will take to achieve that 4.0 versus like a 3.9 is much more than like is a lot, basically.
Yeah.
And I could see that time being spent in a more valuable way with other people.
Sure. Okay, I see the dilemma you're speaking of now.
Because it's like, what's the difference if I graduate with a 3.9 or a 4.0? Realistically, nothing. Because like, I don't think a 4.0 is really going to grant me any new opportunities. It's literally just the fact of like saying I've done it and saying I set this goal on day one and I've accomplished it.
Which is also a big thing, yeah, of doing what you said you wanted to do.
Yeah, and I think I really am going to like bunker down and try to get that 4.0 just because it means something to myself.
Yeah, so. Good, you should. Well, pivoting topics a bit, when you were talking about those things that bring you joy, you mentioned when you kick a soccer ball and you just know it's going in, throughout sports, I've had a similar feeling, and one that's probably might surprise people a bit more because I've never been the greatest basketball player in the world ever, but there are times when you shoot a basketball, and I'm talking like a three, like pretty far away, but the way that it comes off your fingers, you just know it's going in.
I know exactly what you mean, because when I think anybody that's played basketball probably understands like the flow that it comes off your hand, and you know that it's going in.
Which is
certain.
But I think that psychology there is crazy.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's psychology. It's like,
you don't think, what do you think it is?
It could be like almost like metaphysical. Like it's a connection that you like have with the world at the time that like you've done something and you know that this basketball is going in. Like,
but how can you know?
You,
because I'm like, what I'm like, I'm saying, like, I not I think or I hope it, there are times when it comes off the hand and I know that it's gonna swish.
That's why I'm saying it's not psychology, because you're not
okay
thinking.
okay
it's just like a connection between your focus, the activity you're doing, and the outcome of that. And it's all kind of together as one fluid motion that I think is like not exactly psychological.
Okay, I see where you're maybe not psychological. I'm not quite sure if I'm 100% following your metaphysical process, but I kind of like,
it's a very like abstract
way to
see it, so it's hard to explain, but
no, and it's if you don't know what we're talking about just flicking basketball and knowing that it's going in, then that's okay. You're probably not that much worse than me. Just get a few shots up in the summer.
I'm trying to think of a similar analogy to something that's not sports
related. Mm-hmm.
I guess, I mean, I don't know, would you compare that to being like in a like kind of a flow state doing anything else, whether it's like, I don't know, like, I really don't know where I'm going with that. But
yeah, I know what you're meaning. I'm just being in the, you're kind of saying being in the zone mm-hmm. in general.
But like, I don't think it is comparable because it's such an instant.
Yeah, I agree that it is the kind of instantaneous versus. But speaking of being in the zone, when is Will Keeling in the zone?
Ooh, very good question. Okay, let me think. I'm in the zone. Just, I'll say first when I'm on the soccer field. I guess sometimes when I'm on the soccer field, sometimes things aren't going my way. But sometimes I can really feel connected to the game that's going on. Other times I'm in the zone. One thing for sure that I've found that I can get in the zone is when I have a very important exam, which I think is just from practice. Like, I've taken a handful of pretty difficult classes, and on those days when I know that I put the time in, I know all the information, and then I go take the exam, and I can just kind of, I see it as like a performance. Like, you have the ability to do well because you know all the information, and then it's just about doing it. So that's one thing that I would say. I'd also say I am in that flow state. A lot of times in the mornings, I like to just get up and like give myself some time before I have to do anything, drink some coffee and journal. And I don't know if it's necessarily a flow state, but it is kind of like that euphoric, like, like this is my place. So those are some examples. What about you?
There's definitely the academic one. I guess Saturday night into Sunday morning, I woke up at 5 a.m. and just couldn't fall back asleep. So from 6 to 9, I ended up doing a bunch of homework, and I took a nap afterwards. So I'm doing my astrophysics homework, and there were some difficult problems even for that class. The first one had some callbacks to differential equations from sophomore year, which sometimes, you know, there's like the main ones that we learned, but it was like a not the easiest one that we learned, and I somehow just remembered it, did the process, and kept rolling, and really, really flew through that homework that could have taken me a lot longer on normal days. And so that was one where I really just felt I was ripping through some homework, and I feel that way about, this is more homework than exams, but a lot of times when I'm, whether it's 2 a.m. when I'm staying up late, or 6 a.m. because I woke up late, when there's nobody else anywhere and it's dark and I'm just working away, that's a big zone for me. Like, even back in middle school, I would talk to friends about how sometimes at 2 a.m. you have to rip out your essay that's due in a week, and I don't think any of them
were doing that. Not have related to that.
Yeah. I had an interesting arc in middle school when it came to staying up late, and I actually remember it pretty well. So my sixth grade year for Christmas break, Uncle Mike from Chicago was staying with us, and so he and Dad would be hanging out, and I would stay up a little later to just join them watching movies and whatnot sometimes. And then that seventh grade year, he was back, and I'm a year older now, teenager, and I was staying up with them till 1, 2 a.m. every night over break. And then that just led to eighth grade might have been my exact worst year of sleep ever. I mean, I was up till 3, 4 a.m. on the daily, and this is when this is back when class started at 7:50, and so I don't really know what I was doing or why, and I would usually take a nap after class before football practice. Not always true, though, because back then I would have musical practice, then football practice, so there was a lot going on.
That's impressive, doing that much on that little sleep.
Yeah, I don't really know what was up with that, but it got to a point where people are like, dude, you need to sleep, and
yeah.
And I did, so.
Well, you may be one of those people, like, I know, like, most people, you say, like, you need 7 to 8 hours of sleep, and they legitimately do, but there's, like, some kind of genetic trait that some people have that's, like, really uncommon, but where you, like, legitimately only need, like, 4 to 5 hours of sleep a night to be the same level of energized as anybody else. So maybe that's you.
From experience, I think I might, there's a chance, but I also like my sleep a lot now these days too, so who knows. I was listening, so last podcast, Hendy asked me about podcasts that I listen to, and Part of My Take is one, and they mentioned, I guess there was this TikTok trend recently that may or may not still be going on, about basically what these influencers were doing. They were going for a walk without their phone. And that was it. But it was this crazy new thing, and they were telling all their followers, hey, guys, it's so awesome taking 15 minutes without your phone to enjoy the world, enjoy nature. And that's, on the one hand, I want to use the phrase that we use in the house a lot of, wow, these guys need to go touch grass. But also, it's, you know, I certainly fall into the screenager, like, too much electronics in general category myself, because there will be times, this is hard to admit, there will be times I'll have my phone in my left hand and I'll feel myself reaching with my right hand for my phone in my right pocket. And that's not every day, but when that happens, I think, wow, do I need a break from this?
I can totally relate to the idea that, like, I definitely spend too much time on my phone, and is a constant battle for me, because I know the value of, like, being outside, being off of your phone, but for some reason, every day, I just grab my phone, scroll mindlessly through Instagram, and one thing I found that helps is just, like, I'll delete Instagram until, like, I'll, like, get on it from, like, 10 to 10:30, and then just, like, mindlessly scroll from that time, but then for that whole day, like, I won't be on it, but I really think that even that isn't the best way to do it. I think, like, as hard as it is, like, and it sounds stupid that it's hard, because it's like,
yeah,
really, how much are you giving up by not being on Instagram? I think just, like, not doing it, like, going out on walks, like, when you're free time, or, like, reading something. And that's something, like, I tell myself every day, like, I need to do this better, and I still just fall back into it, but I don't know. Have you taken any steps to, like, not be as consumed by your technology?
No, not really. Especially because, and this is probably just an excuse, but a big part at college is, well, a big part in life is communication. And in college, all this communication is happening via email, but also via GroupMe. GroupMe for my different clubs and the fraternity. And especially now, as like being responsible for the freshmen and such, they're you know, texting not 24/7, but pretty consistently for just trying to figure things out. And so I feel that if I just go and turn my phone off or don't have it on me, that I won't be able to appropriately respond to them and help figure things out when necessary. But it is really nice when you can say, you know what, I'm turning it off, or I'm leaving it in the room and gonna go do something else. But no, I've not been very good at it.
Yeah, I definitely understand what you mean, because when you have responsibilities like that, where you, like, if somebody's in a situation, they need to be able to contact you.
Right.
You should have that ability to be in contact. But sometimes you do need to take that time for yourself and put somebody else in charge.
How old were you when you got your first phone?
So I was in 7th grade. I got an iPhone 3GS. And I kept it for a long time, and all my friends were like, dude, you are crazy. You still have that dinosaur, because they had like the iPod Touch, like I don't even know what number it was, but it was like the new version. It's like, I had a phone, like, actually in 7th grade, I don't even know if it worked as a phone. It might have just been like disabled. I don't know if I had text or calling abilities. Yeah. By 8th grade, I definitely did. But I know, that was always funny. I had the iPhone 3GS. But yeah, that was when I started, and I don't think it was ever really too much of a problem throughout high school. But lately, yeah, I've definitely been on it too much. But I think that's also part of just like becoming an adult. Like, you need to prioritize the things that really matter.
And yeah,
almost everything on your phone is stuff that does not matter.
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah.
My parents, we all got our phones when we turned 13. So that was November 7th grade for me. Mm-hmm. My first was the 5C. So the C stood for color. Mm-hmm. So it was like those little plastic colored ones. I had the light blue. And I was so bad at it. I dropped it in the toilet pretty quickly.
Thing for sure was not waterproof.
It wasn't, but it somehow still worked. However, I later smashed it on the concrete, actually shooting the basketball. So it did not last too long.
But yeah, going back to your TikTok trend of putting your phone down and taking walks, I found that things like that, like some kind of physical activity, I find that like the mental clarity that gives you is like so invaluable. Because for me, like, sometimes I will gain it from doing, like, working out. Like, even if I have my phone around me, like, if I go for a run or if I do some, like, pretty lengthy workout where, like, I'm really just, like, working hard, that, like, afterwards, the feeling just gives me so much mental clarity. And I think that it doesn't take that much to gain that level of mental clarity. And it makes me wonder, if I was never on my phone, would I always just have that?
So maybe. And so my when I had my concussion my junior year of high school, I think for like 4 days I just put my phone up and didn't look at it. And even though my head didn't feel great still, for like a week after those 4 days, I still remember of just, yeah, clarity that you're talking about, and just being happy. Mm-hmm. It was, I still remember that feeling, which is probably a sign that I should try and do that more often.
Yeah, it definitely gives you a sense of being in the present moment, which, like I said, I feel like is invaluable. And so I'm going to continue to make it a point to not be mindlessly scrolling all the time. That's, I think, probably. I really should just like delete Instagram for like a prolonged period of time, because that's the only one I really have an issue with. Like, okay. I don't really spend time. Like, I don't have TikTok. Mm. I've luckily never fallen into that trap. But Instagram's basically the same thing now. So that's something I should definitely do.
Nice.
What are some things you've been thinking about lately where you're like, I know that I should do this, but you're having trouble actually taking the action to do it? Because I think about stuff like that all the time. I'm one of those people that's like always, like I, like half of my Instagram feed will be like self-improvement stuff. I'll read like self-improvement books. So I'm always like, oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this to be a better person. But then there's so many of those things that I can't physically do all of them. And that ends up leading me to a place where I don't do any of them. Where if I just focus on a specific one, like for this month, I'm not going to touch Instagram, then I know that would make me a better person. So what are some things for you that you have been kind of thinking about lately?
Reading in general. And so you've talked a couple of times about reading books and reading self-help stuff. Whatever it is, for the longest time, well, like I don't remember the last time I read a book for pleasure, and I really don't read much else of anything. But for the longest time, I thought, you know, I should start getting into the news. I should know what's going on with the world, and I just don't. But I think what might finally make me listen to myself and start reading. So I talked a couple episodes ago with Bear about our senior seminar class, where we're really talking about why physics is important to society. And so every week, we read a chapter from the Hitler Nazi physics book that I mentioned, but we also have different readings that Dr. Tompkins assigns. And so the ones for Monday, one of them was about a guy in Turkey, I forget his name, like Bakhtar, Bajitar, forgive me for that mispronunciation, but he has invented some drones. And a while ago, I think first in 2016 or so, but they've been used all over the place in different types of wars. Ukraine used them against Russia at one point, which that was interesting because Russia and Turkey are allies, and so when Russia had to fight these drones that their ally produced, they're like, what the heck? And Bakhtar, or again, however you pronounce his name, said to Russia, hey, it's just business. And the Russian representative said, you can't say it's just business when it's killing our soldiers, which, like, your views on Russia versus Ukraine aside, I definitely agree that, like, there's this ethical responsibility of scientists. And you can't just claim, oh, it's just business, especially when it becomes like this military machines. But to answer your question, I would like to just know much more about the world and be able to have those conversations, because saying in the war context, like Israel, Hamas, I really don't know what's going on there. And speaking of TikTok, it's all over TikTok, and I'm not so sure that what I'm seeing is the most credible stuff, but I also don't know how to find what is the most credible, informational / not biased. But reading, and more specifically, being up to date on the current events is something I'd like to be better at.
I like that perspective. I definitely don't make much of an effort to consume news, and really, I mean, I definitely should be more informed as to what's going on in the world, but a lot of times, like you said, when you look at that stuff, a lot of the things you're saying are false, or a lot of the things are literally just to rile people up and get their emotions high, or make you angry, and a lot of it's super negative. And my perspective is like, if I'm going to go consume something, why would I consume a bunch of negative things that are going to make me like ponder whether the world is about to end, or like, I don't know, just have a bit more of a pessimistic view on life, when like there are things I can be focusing on in my life to make the most out of it. But I also agree in the fact that you want to read more to learn about the world. Like, I would like to do that more about, like, history, because my knowledge of history is pretty light.
Yeah, I'd like to do a lot more American history as well.
Yeah, and I feel like you said, it's something that I see as a responsibility, because it has allowed me to have the life that I have today, which I'm really thankful for.
Yeah, and the thing about the negativity, yes, I agree that a lot of it is negative and will lead you to this pessimistic mindset. However, like you're saying, we are so fortunate and sheltered away in the United States that I find myself thinking, wow, I have it so easy, and so many other people do not, and just, I don't even know where I'm going, but just recognizing that.
I mean, that's something, like, within the past 2 years especially, I've really come to realize, because I've been fortunate enough to travel a lot, and something that you'll be getting to do soon, like, you learn the way people live in all different kinds of places, and you realize, like, wow, I have an amazing setup. Like, my whole family is around me, and, like, things are just amazing. And so you're definitely right in, like, the knowledge of the rest of the world and being able to appreciate where you come from is important and something that we should feel obligated to do and to do, but it's definitely difficult. So soon you are out of this presidency that you've been in for about a year. How do you feel about coming out of this?
Yes, so tomorrow I'll be turning over power. Quinn, who was the second guest, my first son, we're keeping in the family. He won and will be the next future president. So very excited for him. And yeah, as I've said before, at this point, very excited to pass the torch, but all of a sudden, I without even having done it already, am getting a bit nostalgic, and I think it's because of the idea of you don't know what you got until it's gone, That's something that I've felt with many different things in life, whether it's a sport you play. I think of travel baseball as a big one. I remember by the time I was 14, it was like, man, I do love baseball, but every weekend going somewhere to play baseball and not being able to go to the pool parties with my friends and stuff like that got me to resent the sport a little bit. But now, like I also mentioned last episode of that softball tournament that we had with Spikeball as the softball. And just, I would give a lot to go back on a baseball field and field grounders for an hour and throw them over to first base. So similarly, even though most of me is, again, very ready to let Quinn take the reins, it'll be like the freedoms I have in the house of being able to do almost whatever I wanted, within reason, of course, won't quite be there. Brett has been saying, oh, very, very bittersweet to be ending our terms, and for the past couple of weeks I've been saying, oh, Brett, it's not that bitter, it's pretty sweet, and now maybe a little more bitter for me.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that, especially because, like, in terms of most people in the house, like, you're not going to be there for that much longer.
There is that too.
Which I think you'll definitely enjoy your last bit of time in the house without the presidency to worry about. But I can see how that might be bittersweet, just like anything else. Like when you're moving from one stage in life to the next.
Yeah. It's like, because that's a good way to put it, because it really is kind of marking that transition for me coming up. But I've been telling everyone, and I'm going to hold true to this, that I'm going to do a really good job of being around when I do come back next semester. Mm-hmm. You have a kind of unique next semester coming up as well.
Yes, I will let you know my thoughts about that because I'm not exactly sure. So basically the situation I'm in is I've taken all of the classes that I need except for one. I need one more biology class to finish my biology major and finish my degree. So the norm here at Wabash is you take three classes to be a full-time student and you live on campus. Almost everybody that goes here lives on campus. But I'm in the dilemma now where I have the opportunity to take one class and I could commute to school because I don't live that far away. It's about a 30 to 40 minute drive. And so I would not be living in the house and I'd be saving some money by living at home, but I wouldn't be in the Wabash bubble for as much of the time in that semester. I would still have to come back for 2 or 3 days a week for class. So that would keep me at Wabash for a good amount of time, but I really am kind of leaning towards the live at home, save money, and do the one class and find a job or something, make some money so that for the summer or potentially a gap year, I have some pocket money to spend, do some cool things. And like you said, like you were going to spend a lot of time around Wabash, I would be sure to spend like almost every weekend at Wabash because I know this is the last time that I'm going to be here with this particular group of people, and I really value the relationships I have with them, and I want to absorb as much of this environment as I possibly can, because when I do take that step into the next stage of my life, I know I'm gonna miss it. So I'd be doing a disservice to myself to not be here super often, but I would also feel like I'd be wasting some time, or maybe not being as, I don't want to say productive, because I wouldn't have like a huge problem just like not being super productive in the second semester of my senior year, but I think I would have, I'd feel more fulfilled if I were like working on a few things that I have wanted to work on through my time at Wabash, because like I said, I've spent so much time being a student that if I only had to do one class and I could work and spend a lot of time working out and just kind of learning about things that I specifically want to learn about, then I think that would be the best way to spend my time.
That's fair. And speaking of just the time you spend, because if you were to live on campus taking one course, then yeah, you can work out and stuff, but like everyone else still has their full slate of classes. So you being here doesn't necessarily mean that everyone else is available. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this might sound a bit hypocritical after we just have been saying all podcasts how important it is to spend time with friends, mm-hmm, and relationships. But as I've also mentioned on this podcast, it also holds true that you want to spend time with your parents and family. And so if you're at home, then you're still cultivating relationships.
I was just trying to get into that because there's, as much as I have absolutely loved my time living in the Fiji house, there's nothing like living at home when all of your siblings are living at your house too, and just being in that environment when, regardless of what happens, you can count on eating dinner and like knowing that your family's in your house.
Everybody's
living at home right now because Mitchell is going to medical school at Marion and he's been commuting. Okay. And my sister's also commuting to IUPUI.
There you go. So that'd be cool.
Like, I know that like soon he's going to move out, she's going to move out, and then my little brother goes to college in 2 years. Like, those days of all of us being around are very short. And like I said at the beginning, one of my favorite things ever is being around the bonfire at my house with my whole family. And I would also feel like I'd be missing out if I didn't take the chance to kind of spend that time with them, especially because I feel like as I've been getting older, I have increasingly seen the value in that environment. And I feel like I would be, like I said, I'd be missing out probably.
There was, so I posted on my Instagram story maybe 3-4 days ago. And I don't remember every single one, but it was like 5 or 6 different relationships, and they were actually paused. Let me see if I can find it real quick. So I can't find it, but there are at least 4 of the 5 or 6 that I remember. And so the ones I remember, it was time spent with parents, friends, your spouse, and yourself. And so it was like by the time you reach the age of 20, that time spent with parents declines. And similarly, by the time you start working, time with friends begins to decline as well. And so the post said this a lot more eloquently, but it was saying cherish that time with them. And then your spouse is the person you'll spend the most time with, is the other person that your spouse is the person you'll spend the most time with. And so pick the right one and love them and enjoy them. But I guess besides your spouse, the person that you'll spend the absolute most time is yourself. And so talking about cultivating relationships, the most important one is to have a good relationship with yourself.
I 100% agree. And I always try to, it sounds bad, but like you really do have to put yourself first. Like if you don't have that solid relationship with yourself, you're not going to be able to have a deep relationship with anyone else. And I try to prioritize the relationship I have with myself in my life by like doing things to take care of myself, take care of my body and mind. I think journaling, like I would recommend that everybody does that just because of how much self-awareness it gives you. And yeah, I mean, you're only ever going to be yourself, and you're only always going to be by yourself. In any situation that you're in, whether you can be with other people, but like at the end of the day, like you are yourself, so you're always going to be with yourself. And so you should never understate the importance of having a great relationship with yourself.
I agree. Well, Will and I have to get to fatherhood actually right now.
Yes.
So with that, Will, thank you for coming on. This was a really good episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I would love to do this again. Yeah, these conversations are awesome. And it's possible that nobody listens to this, and that's perfectly okay because I've had a great time.
Hey, I think the least listened to right now of all the episodes that are out is 15. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And the first one with Camden might be approaching like 80.
What?
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Some followers.
I know. So if we get them all closer to 80, that'd be kind of cool.
I'm glad you told me that afterwards because that would have given me some more pressure going in. But I know. I think this was awesome.
Good. Well, thank you guys, and we'll see you next time.